Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Good Soil Podcast, where the Word of God meets ears, minds, and hearts, and by His grace grows a great harvest. I'm Aaron Fesenmeyer, pastor of York Evangelical Free Church, right here at the crossroads of the Midwest, York, Nebraska. I am grateful that you join me today, and if you are listening, hopefully you have made it with us through the Gospel according to Mark. A lot shorter than Matthew, but wow, packed. But there is a lot more to be said about Jesus in the Bible, and that's why we're going to be turning next. So I want to welcome you officially to the next of our gospel accounts in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke is a very interesting book because it comes through the pen of a very interesting author, Luke, who is often called the beloved physician. Luke was arguably the most educated of the gospel writers, being a physician, and he wanted to be very precise and record as thoroughly as he could. He was also a friend and companion of the Apostle Paul, but that's not the key distinctive of this book and of this author. Luke, out of all the authors, was a Gentile. That means he wasn't Jewish. In fact, he is the only non-Jewish writer of the entire Bible, as far as we currently know. That makes this gospel account and its sequel, the book of Acts, which we'll get to later, really unique among the books of the Bible and one to pay attention to. Luke's emphasis, as you might guess, is similar to other gospel writers. It's Jesus Christ. The gospel is about Jesus Christ, and all the gospel accounts are pointing to Him. Luke goes about it in a very detailed and deliberate way. I'm going to read just the few verses of the gospel account, and I'm reading from the ESV translation, and it goes like this, from Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He writes this, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you might have certainty concerning the things you have been taught." Certainty, orderly account, followed all things closely. This is a gospel writer who is very intentional about what he's planning to do. And he writes to this guy, Theophilus, an orderly account of the birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, so that he and we, as Luke said, may have certainty concerning the things we have been taught. I don't want to make too much of this, but the name Theophilus means friend of or one who loves God. Anyone who is a friend of or loves God should read this gospel and get rooted in God's truth. And Luke presents amazing truth. This account is the last of what are called the synoptic gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they're called synoptic because they share things in common. And there's significant overlap. In fact, many people believe that Luke drew heavily upon Mark's account for some of his source material. But Luke is certainly distinct. He includes, for example, 15 parables that are unique to this gospel, including the parable of the Good Samaritan. That sounds like a parable that a doctor would love. And the parable of the prodigal son. And when you get to that parable, the parable of the prodigal son, read it with both Jewish and Gentile ears and eyes. And imagine how this might fall on us Gentile, non-Jewish ears. A son who is far away from the house of the father and who comes back and is welcomed back as a son. This gospel is meant to display Jesus, as I said before, and Jesus as the great salvation to anyone who believes him. It doesn't matter your status, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, anything. Jesus, in fact, as an example, meets up with a tax collector in the gospel, a little man named Zacchaeus. And he makes this statement that seems to capture what Jesus is about in the whole gospel, according to Luke. This comes from chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. It says this: "Today, salvation has come to this house, since he," that's Zacchaeus, "also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came to seek and to save the lost. The gospel, according to Luke, doesn't talk about only the beginning of salvation, however. Luke, along with all the other gospel writers, calls people who would believe in Jesus to count the cost of following him. It's not easy to follow Jesus. It's totally worth it. But we got to go into it with both of our eyes open. And Jesus says this to his disciples in Luke 9, verse 23 through 24. And if you listen to the episode that I did on Mark, this language sounds really similar. He says, "If anyone would come after me," this is Jesus talking, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Wow. Good, but wow. And that chapter that's from, Luke 9, seems to be a major transition point in the book. Luke records two phases of Jesus' ministry. First, he records traveling from town to town in Palestine, preaching, teaching, healing, casting out demons, raising the dead. And then, in Luke 9, in the middle of all that, we get this statement in verse 51. "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." And the book kind of hinges on that. All through this book, God is on a mission to save and bring salvation, to seek and to save the lost. And it's going to happen, the climax of the event is going to happen in Jerusalem. And so Jesus teaches a ton on his way, and once he's there, after showdowns with both the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he is betrayed by one of his own disciples, sent through all sorts of false trials, and he is put to death. But thankfully, Luke's account doesn't end in death. Jesus was to be taken up, both put up on a cross, then raised up to life, then to ascend, that is, go up, to be in heaven once more with his heavenly Father, having finished the mission. The gospel, according to Luke, is incredible. But there's one more detail that I need to mention before we finish today. The story also isn't over when Jesus ascends to his Father. His mission's complete. But before Jesus goes, he tells his disciples in Luke 24, verse 49, he says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." That promise is someone who has shown up alongside God the Father and Jesus the Son in the gospel according to Luke and shows up everywhere in the Bible. He is the promised Holy Spirit, the third member of the triune Godhead, who works through the Lord Jesus and is promised to God's people so that God's people can carry out the mission that they have. But we'll save that one for a couple times later in the book of Acts. Like I said, the gospel according to Luke is incredible. Let's read this book looking for certainty, as Luke intended, certainty as to what we've been taught. So as you start this book, let me pray for us as we receive God's word in the gospel according to Luke. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to see Jesus as the Son of Man who came to seek and save that which was lost. Grant us, by the promised Holy Spirit, to rejoice that we in the 21st century can have certainty of who you are, what you've done, and what you have for us in your kingdom when we read your word. We pray for your blessing, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Good Soil Podcast. I'm enjoying reading the Bible with you. Let me encourage you, keep reading. His voice is worth it. Until I talk with you next, may God reap a great harvest in our midst as His word grows in good soil.